Back here on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, a.k.a. DVD, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingan is out today, but the show must go on, as they say. We've got Trevor Maddich as we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trevor Maddich, of course, with ESPN, tremendous football analyst, whether we're talking NFL or college. Trevor, welcome into the show. It has certainly been a couple of very busy days with NFL news. Yesterday, we felt like we were drinking out of a fire hose, and certainly the Titans as busy as anybody. Just give me your overall assessment. How much better do you think the Titans made themselves? Because it's always tricky when you have to go to the free agent well so many times.
Yeah, well, I really like what they did in free agency so far. I mean, some people think that signing so many guys, I mean, 5 out of 9 by some counts, that this coaching staff has coached in previous spots was a bit too many. And so they've called the Titans draft, or excuse me, free agency so far, a loser, partly because there's so many guys that the coaches know. But I think that's one of two reasons that I really, really like this particular crop, because the last 2 years, the Titans have been one of the four worst teams in the NFL. So here comes a new coaching staff, and they're not just implementing new schemes, they are installing their culture. And by bringing in guys that they know, that know these coaches, it gives them a jump start on getting the schemes installed, getting the culture established in the locker room, and those guys can translate to the current players what these coaches really mean when they say certain things and what these coaches really want. So I think it's good that they brought in guys that they know from the past. And another thing that I really like, Willie, is that for the most part, this class is guys that are on the upswing in their career, guys in their mid to late 20s. Most of them are still getting better. So it's not like they're bringing in aging veterans to try to squeeze a few more good seasons out of their careers. On the downside, these are guys that if they hit are guys that will only get better from here. So I like the vision of both establishing the culture and of bringing in guys that they can expect to be here for a while contributing.
Trevor Maddich is with us, and he's brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, with what they've done as we watch sort of the dust settle, we've had a pretty interesting debate here on what the right piece would be if they stay at number four. You know, they could move down, all of that. But you look at, you add Wandell Robinson, you now, they still got some things to do on the offensive line, it looks like. But, you know, you say, wow, what would Jeremiah Love do for that offense now? And at the same time, you can say, well, with the what you just talked about with Robert Saleh on defense, he added a couple of guys that were with him with the Jets that he knows what they're going to give him. They've added the corners. Boy, what a crown jewel a great edge rusher would look like. Which is there a particular way you lean on what you think the next move would be with pick number four?
Yeah, there is, Willie. I am really coalescing around the philosophy that with that number four pick, they need to take somebody who is either a game breaker on offense or a game wrecker on defense. If you trade back and you want to get a solid Pro Bowl potential starter, great. But at number four, you need to have an absolute difference maker. And you need to have a guy that doesn't have you don't have to explain away certain weaknesses. I mean, with Reuben Bain, who should be a really, really good defensive lineman and pass rusher in the NFL, but you have to explain away why it's okay that he has short arms. With David Bailey, the pass rushing edge guy out of Texas Tech, probably the best pure pass rusher in this draft, but you have to explain away why he's not nearly as good at linebacker, which is where he's going to have to play, or sometimes with his hands in the dirt in packages, but he's not nearly as good at everything else besides rushing the passer. But there are three guys that you don't have to explain away anything. The one on offense, Jeremiah Love, you guys have been on for a long time. Derek, I know, has been talking about him for a long time, the running back out of Notre Dame. I mean, his 40 time was in the 4.3s as a running back. And he's a terrific receiver, an excellent runner. I mean, he's got the best chance of any offensive player in this draft of being that game breaker. And you think of Christian McCaffrey of the 49ers or Saquon Barkley of the Eagles when you think of what he can bring to an offense. I don't see any other offensive player that I am as confident of being a game breaker at number four as I am of Jeremiah Love. And then on the defensive side, I would say either of the Ohio State linebackers, Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese, either one of those guys would be game breakers in this Robert Saleh defense on that side of the ball. And any one of those three guys, I'd love in that number four position because I require personally that that be an elite difference maker. Anybody else, I question whether they can rise to that level at that draft pick.
Now, Trevor, you did, Willie did mention some of the signings that the Titans made and how they will hopefully eventually help the offense, whether defense as well. But you're looking at the center position. Give me your assessment of Austin Schlotman, and if he's not sort of their guy that they're going to go with, where do they go in regards to centers? Because I know Austin, he played majority guard but can play center. If he's not that guy, where do they go for center?
Well, he is versatile. I mean, he can play center or guard. He knows Dable's offense. And so from a standpoint of recognizing defensive fronts, making protection calls, correcting the quarterback if he needs to from time to time, those things he can excel at. He's 30 years old, and so he's been around the NFL. So that's good. I don't know that he is a top-tier, talent from just a pure talent standpoint, but from a guy that could plug in and play well, or at least play reliably, I think he's a guy that would be okay. But he's not the guy that I would say, okay, we got our guy, let's go, right? And I think you've got a, people are talking about Jackson Slater, who was a draft pick last year, and really putting a lot of hopes on him. But I don't know. I would consider him a guy that may be able to get that stuff done. He comes from, I think it's Sac State. He comes from a FCS school, and I don't know that he's ready for that kind of a load. When it comes to the draft, the problem in the draft is that there's no real center that you would say, yeah, this guy is my guy. I mean, the kid at Auburn, Connor Lue, is probably the best available. He's probably a third-round pick kind of a guy. The problem is that he tore his ACL last year, and the question will be his durability, right? And then you got the kid at Florida, Jake Slaughter, who also is a very explosive guy. He's kind of tall and rangy, but he doesn't have a whole lot of sand in his pants, He's not the kind of guy that can really drop anchor and people or move them off the ball. So these are other guys, and he probably would be a day three guy as well, probably a fourth rounder. These are guys that might add depth and they might work out. But from a draft standpoint, you can't count on any of these guys available at center in this draft to come in and start for you. So now we're back to Schlotman, aren't we?
Now, we're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL and college analyst. Now, when we talk about the division, Trevor, the AFC South, where do the signings put the Titans as they sit now in regards to teams that have signed individuals? And I know that Houston did some signing. They had four, signings leading the way as Reed Blankenship. They got Braden Smith and a few other guys. But where do Titans sit in the moves that they made? Where does that put them in AFC South?
I'd say right now they're probably about third. I think they're ahead of the Colts. I think the Colts, re-signing Alec Pierce, a wide receiver, is really good. They overpaid for him, but he's a force multiplier because he's one of the top yards per catch guys in the NFL last year, and that opens up everything else by forcing the safeties to stay deep. So that's good. But overall, I am, the quarterback situation still from an injury standpoint and the performance standpoint, I'm not really high on the Colts right now until I see more from them. I think the Titans really helped themselves. And I also like it that the Titans did not necessarily go out and spend money on people that weren't worthy of the contract just because they needed someone in that position, right? The guys they picked there was real intent and there was real purpose. And I spent some money on some of those guys, but there was intent and there was purpose. So I think they didn't waste a whole lot of their cap space. You know, Houston, they still, you know, even though they tried to, with trade and with free agency, they're trying to upgrade their offensive line, but, you know, their offensive line is still going to be a problem. And C.J. Stroud took a step back, and behind an offensive line that's still problematic, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to be next year besides an elite defense. Jacksonville, by default, is number one, and they're kind of good in a lot of places. They're not great at all, but this division is basically a hot mess. So I think the Titans have the ability to rise up and maybe even get into that first place spot and supplant the Jaguars if everything comes together and if they're able to draft well and get impact out of the new faces.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich. Trevor, what do you think of, what do you make of the Mitch Trubisky? Are you surprised that they went out and got him? I was surprised that they got him so early. It was like their first signing. That was surprising to me. But is that a surprise that they went out and got Mr. Trubisky? And what does that mean to you for Will Levis?
I think it's great, Derek. I love it that they have him. I think at this point in his career, because he hasn't really been a starter for a long, 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 long time, 31 years old now, but he has been a starter. And he has gone through the ups and downs of the NFL. And he's the kind of guy that can help Cam Ward in terms of not just, you know, scheme and recognizing defenses and things like that, all that is important from a tactical standpoint. But he can help Cam Ward with the off-field stuff in terms of how you prepare, how you focus, how you treat your teammates, how you talk back to your coaches, and when you don't talk back to your coaches. These are all things that experienced quarterbacks know that it's much better for a young quarterback to learn from the older guy than it is to learn the hard way by making mistakes along the way. So I think that is really good. I mean, it's also good that, you know, he has played, and if something happens to Cam and Trubisky has to go in, at least he's a guy that's got experience in the league and he knows defenses. You know, we keep coming back to that. Knowing the offense for a quarterback is mildly interesting. The best ones know defenses as well as they know their own offense. And Trubisky will have a good chance of knowing that. And keep in mind just the quarterback wasteland that the Titans have been in recent years, where they've got an inexperienced starter backed up by an inexperienced backup, right? And so it's just been a nightmare. Now they at least have that synergy where they have a young first pick in the draft quarterback that's got all the talent in the world with an experienced grizzled veteran behind him to help guide him, and an experienced grizzled veteran who knows his role and won't be out there trying to undermine him as the veteran tries to make himself a starting quarterback at the expense of the number one pick in the draft one way or the other. That creates all kinds of problems. I guess that's a long way of saying I really like it that they brought in Trubisky.
All right, last thing for you, Trevor. Are you a believer in the Dolphins' investment in Malik Willis, especially when you – put it in the context of they're eating a ton of money on Tua, which was, it would have been very risky to keep him and expensive to keep him. They wanted to move on. I get that. But you do all that, and now you bring in Malik Willis, who is obviously not a guy that's played a lot. So what do you think that's going to turn out to be?
You know, I think it's a risk for them. I think they moved on from Tua because at least they knew what they didn't have with Tua. I don't think they really know what they have with Malik. You know, he did really well with the Packers, and they have kind of similar style offenses, you would think, you know, going to, you know, the new systems. But Malik succeeded very well last year in Green Bay at quick timing routes, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, high completion percentage, you know, and it looked like he really took a step forward. So how will he be there? I don't know. Because it's one thing if you come in off the bench and you're the backup, and it's another thing if you're the man and everybody's preparing for you and has been preparing for you all year. So I don't know the answer to how he will be. I think it would be awesome if he excelled there. But I'm not willing to say yet that I think that he will. I think he has a chance, but there's more against him to get to that point than there is for him right now because of experience.
Trevor, great stuff as always. We appreciate your insight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Willie. Thanks, Derek.
Yep. Great stuff from Trevor Maddich. He is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. That's Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. When we come back, we're going to get D-Mace's latest opinion on what we've been trying to figure out. We don't know. It's still, we'll know in a couple of days. But how is Derek feeling about what's been leaked out about the Titans uniforms? Uh-oh. We got a little tidbit here and there. We got insight. What do we think? We're going to hit that when we come back. Remember, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. The SEC tournament is coming up in Nashville, and you can join 102.5 The Game for an SEC tournament watch party as we broadcast live from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. later this week. Tomorrow, it'll be at Assembly Food Hall downtown. Thursday, it'll be at Chiefs on Broadway, and then Friday at T-Line. Our coverage of the SEC tournament on 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Thompson Machinery, City Auto, Maple Street Biscuits Company, and for more details, visit thegamenashville.com.